مركز الصحابة والجماعة.
This segment is proudly brought to you by Capital Air.
باكر علم صدق صفا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا تو باكر علم صدق صفا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا تو اہل یا محبوب خدا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا تو اہل یا محبوب خدا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا تو باکر علم صدق و صفا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا یہ میرا قلم یہ میری زباں کیا شان کریں گے تیری بیان یہ میرا قلم یہ میری زباں کیا شان کریں گے تیری بیان قرآن ہے تیرا مدح سرا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا قرآن ہے تیرا مدح سرا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا تو اہل یا محبوب خدا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا تو باکر علم صدق و صفا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا کیا کہنے ہے تیری رفعت کے کیا کہنے ہے تیری عظمت کے کیا کہنے ہے تیری رفعت کے کیا کہنے ہے تیری عظمت کے ماشاء اللہ ماشاء اللہ صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا ماشاء اللہ ماشاء اللہ صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا تو اہل یا محبوب خدا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا تو باکر علم صدق و صفا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا ہم کیوں نہ کریں تیری عزت اولاد ہے تیری یہ امت ہم کیوں نہ کریں تیری عزت اولاد ہے تیری یہ امت سب جانتے ہیں ماں کا رتبہ صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا سب جانتے ہیں ماں کا رتبہ صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا تو اہل یا محبوب خدا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا تو باکر علم صدق و صفا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقا یہ بات تو عین حقیقت ہے قدموں میں تیرے جنت ہے یہ بات تو عین حقیقت ہے قدموں میں تیرے جنت ہے جو تم سے ہٹا دو زخم گرا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ جو تم سے ہٹا دو زخم گرا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تو اہلیہ محبوب خدا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تو پیکر علم و صدق و صفا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ صدیق تھا تیرا باپ اگر اللہ کا نبی تیرا شوہر صدیق تھا تیرا باپ اگر اللہ کا نبی تیرا شوہر انعام ہوئے تجھ پہ کیا کیا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ انعام ہوئے تجھ پہ کیا کیا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تو اہلیہ محبوب خدا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تو پیکر علم و صدق و صفا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تعریف تیری توصیف تیری سلمان سے کب ہو سکتی ہے تعریف تیری توصیف تیری سلمان سے کب ہو سکتی ہے حق ہو نہیں سکتا تیرا ادا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ حق ہو نہیں سکتا تیرا ادا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تو اہلیہ محبوب
وعلیکم السلام ورحمۃ اللہ Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners of Sirius FM as well as Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhahib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought, every Thursday between 11 and 12. Today, inshallah, we'll be discussing, it is Father's Day, and all of this false beliefs, and also we'll be discussing about the youth. The date today, remember, is the 15th of Dhul Hijjah, 1446, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 12th of June, 2025. Let's welcome Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab, Hafidhullah Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa ana Zaid Khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, I've seen posters that are going around, and perhaps it is because of Father's Day. It says Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. So now they're also recognizing men's mental health. Before, this was unimaginable. So it says your story matters, your feelings are valid. It's okay to ask for help. Mufti Saab, what is this whole agenda behind Father's Day?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد all praise is due to Almighty Allah the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader حبيبنا مصطفى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم Okay, just as an introduction, then I'll come back to it. This week, Sunday in South Africa, they told us it is Father's Day. So this week, Sunday, yeah. And on Monday, it is Youth Day. So therefore, this weekend, yeah, is a big, long weekend. So the roads also will be very, very busy. And people will make it into a long weekend. So we should remember that people will make it into a long weekend. People will be going to Durban and here and there and so forth from Friday, you know. So people will make chile. They'll take off quickly and then they'll go, come back Monday afternoon, Monday evening. So that's one side of the story. The micro. So the macro, you must understand, there's one game they play. So now, today, the news that's breaking everywhere in the world is what? America is evacuating their staff, you see, that will leave maybe skeleton staff. Where? In Baghdad, the Iraqi embassy, then there in Kuwait, there in Bahrain, and many other places. Why? They say Israel is ready to attack Iran, you see. So this is how they play the game. So now the Arab countries will be in jitters again and so forth and so on. So what happens is this, that Netanyahu, the war criminal, knows that he will have to go to elections this year, next year. So now he can't go to elections when he hasn't defeated Hamas. In fact, he's losing every day, soldiers and so forth. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Our Hamas, our Jihad Islami are sending their soldiers straight to hell. And they are attacking our civilian population, our men, our women, our children, our babies. And that's what they are doing. And therefore, they are guilty of genocide and so forth. And now they are outraged. You must remember that these are not Muslim countries, Arab countries. These are Western countries who once upon a time were their best allies, that now have sanctioned their two terrorists and their two big ministers. Ben-Gvir, Pakka, Harami, terrorist, murderer, and remember that he, Smotrich, and so forth. So now the tide is turning against them. So they need something. So now what? So he says that, okay, let us attack Iran. Then if they attack Iran, even if it be a small-time attack just to show the world, so then Iran might attack their American, you understand, bases or something. So that will draw in America, you see. But it won't be a big-time thing. So Russia, China, all of them will just watch. And then what happens is this, that Iran must not have nuclear. So our question is just three. So how come Israel must have 200, 300, 400 nuclear, you understand, facilities, whatever you want to call it, you see, and Iran cannot have? We're not discussing whether Iran is Muslim, not Muslim. That's not the issue. The issue is that if you, Israel, can have, Pakistan and India can have, then why Iran can't have? So we 100% say Iran must have. We say it is the foolishness of these Arab tenpot dictators, Haramis, Murtad, Munafiqeen, Saudi Arabia, Emirates, Kuwait, Bahrain, all of them, remember, Jordan, Egypt, and especially the rich countries. So you must remember that you said, no, security we'll get from America. So you take a bully, you know, in the school or in the township or in the area, you have a bully. You better pay me protection, you understand, fees, or otherwise I'm coming to hit you, or I'll get my goons and my gangsters to come and hit you and so forth. So now Saudi, Emirates, Kuwait, all of them, they pay, Bahrain, they pay protection fees. King Faisal was a very good person. But you know, we all human beings, we make mistakes in life. Two, three mistakes he made. Allah will forgive him, inshallah. But we must know it was a terrible mistake. One mistake he made, the people actually fooled him. You see, people don't understand nothing about Saudi Arabian history. They just know Makkah, Medina is the finish. I'm speaking about generally, you understood? I guess 10%, 15%. Generally, people don't know what's going on. They just know this is Makkah, this is Medina, this is Jeddah, khalas. So in King Faisal's time, he ruled from 64 to 75, King Faisal, a shaheed, rahimahullah, Allah grant him Jannat al-Firdaus. So TV was introduced. They told him it's the best thing that you can have for educational purposes. So he accepted it like that. He never even dreamt that right by the Haram and all that, that they will have so many TVs there, you'll catch over 100 channels right there by the Haram. If you walk from the Haram to the hotel, it's not even 100 meters some places, you see. And what movies and all that they're showing. You see, he never even dreamt he'll reach that stage. So therefore, I'm saying Allah forgive him. But it started in his time. Then if you know American politics, remember Secretary of State that time was Kissinger. Kissinger fricked and he died. Frick is Afrikaans word to die like a dog, you see. So he died, you must remember, Kissinger Jutla, he was 100 years old. So he cut the deal, remember, was them in the 70s and all that. He said that what you must do is this, we America will give you, first if you look at it, it was Roosevelt, the president of America, Roosevelt. And he met Abdul Aziz. You know, they say Faisal bin Abdul Aziz, Fahad bin Khalid bin Abdul Aziz. So the father. So he met him there in Egypt and all this kind of thing, the ship. And they made a deal there that, okay, we will give you oil and you must give us security. So that was first time they made like a deal like that. But the worst deal was done during Faisal's time. He, Kissinger, came and he told him that you must tell all the countries, you Faisal, that we will sell oil to all countries, whoever wants, but they must pay us in dollars. You see that? So we won't accept any other currency. So therefore it was known as the petrodollar. You may understand these things here, you see. So that was a move. Maybe Faisal thought is good, but in the long term it's a disaster. Now people are selling in all currencies. Nobody bothers, you understood. But the thing is this, that is how America became financially strong and the dollar became strong. When I went to Pakistan in 1974, from here alone you can understand, for one rand, South African rand, you used to get more than $2. Can you imagine that? Today you pay how much? 18 rand, 19 rand for $1. You understand? For $2 you will pay 36, 38, 40 rand almost, with the commission and VAT and all these type of things. So that is how things have changed, you must remember. So why I'm explaining these things here, so that is what they use. So if these Arab Tanpot dictators had some common sense which they don't have, they should have had their own nuclear. Pakistan is a Muslim country, poor country compared to them, they have nuclear. And when this Pakistan-India war took place, that was the aim, to wipe out Pakistan's nuclear. And it was done and engineered by America, Israel, India, France, all of them on one side. And China was watching. And China helped Pakistan, remember. Allah helps, but there's Asbab also. So the means that were used were China, then Turkey, then Azerbaijan. And then the Pakistani pilots came, and then they hit the hell out of India. So therefore, we say Pakistan's Zindabad, you see. Allah Ta'ala prevented them from becoming a disaster, you know, for them. And they walk with pride today, you see, because they gave all these guys a good threshing, remember that. So the point we're making is this, if something happens between Israel and Iran, we must support Iran. So not because they're Shias. Remember, if you want the demographics and the breakdown and all that. So when I went there, then you see that the Kafir Shias, they lie like hell. So they gave us a breakdown. Officially, they gave you one document. So they tell you that there are so many deaths, so many deaths, so many deaths, you see that. So you must remember 90%, 91% are Shias and others, you see. And Sunnis are 9%, maximum 10%. That's the official narrative from the Iranian government. But if you go to the Sunni places, you must remember, and you ask the ulama and the people there, then they will tell you they're 20, 25. Some will tell you even 40%, but that's exaggeration. So sometimes our people also exaggerate. So we can easily, safely say between 25 to 33. So 25 is quarter and 30, 33 is one third. So between 20, 25 and 30% is Sunni. So there's a good size and largest population of Sunnis there as well. So therefore we must support them and so forth and so on. So therefore we must understand. Now you see Iran, it plays the game. What the game? That we will attack Iran, Iran will attack Israel, Israel will attack and this and all that. And then they collect more and more money from those Arab idiots and fools. They buy arms, they can't even use it and so forth. So it's enough for our safety. One day Iran will attack us. If Iran want to attack you, they don't have to attack you. They will just attack your water and you finish. You don't have even river, have dams and rivers and nothing. See how foolish they are, you must remember that. So that is what the Ummah must understand, you know. Okay, now we come to our topic. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So we must always try and use topics that are relevant, you know. You can't be speaking now in Zulhijjah and then Muharram about Ramadan, you know. So you can't speak of Rabiul Awwal. So you must speak about things that are relevant. So for us, the relevance is this week, Sunday is Father's Day. Monday is Youth Day. Father's Day, this is clash of cultures, clash of civilizations. You see, the Westerners, if you understand how the Western system works, so they have three pillars. One is democracy. What we know what that democracy means. Democracy means that they must have choose the rulers who can play to their tune. If you can't play to their tune, then they'll have regime change and so forth, you see. ANC fits in nicely, you see that. So now majority does that, and then they can't do everything properly. So now they got the GNU and all hopeless characters, also majority of them. So anyway, so that is one. Then two, capitalism. So you must have interest, you must have banks, you must have this, you must have that. So that is the second pillar. And third, secularism. You must have nothing to do with religion. Religion is a private matter, is a private issue. We're not interested in religion. Religion has passed its sell-by date. It's irrelevant in the modern society. That is the Western culture and concept. Understand that in there. That religion is just a waste of time as far as what you're going to do with religion. You understand? So, religion is not going to bring you money. So, that's how they shape the minds of people and so forth and all these type of things. And not only Islam. Islam will be the main target, whether it's Christianity, whether it's Hinduism, whether it's Buddhism, every religion they'll target. You know Imran Khan, if you study his history, he was a very young boy, you know, 18, 19 years old. First time in his life he went to play England cricket, you know, he was master cricketer, you know. You see, I couldn't believe it when I saw there in England, they say, is Jesus gay or not gay? You understood? So it's in a Western country the headline does. You say, I really like, you know, I couldn't believe what I'm. It's like you have to read the headlines 10 times, you understand, to see what the hell is. So you see, because you come from Pakistan, you'll never dream of a thing like that, you know. So that's just one example I'm giving. So once you understood that, then you'll understand the remainder of the things. So now you go study their educational system. That the educational system is this. You must learn your language, English, whatever it is. You must learn your maths, you must learn science, you must learn this, you must learn that. Once you finish your matric, you go college, all that. Once you start earning, so you don't have to stay with your parents, all that, you tell them, me, I'm going. Then you can have your own boyfriend, you can have your own girlfriend, you can sleep with 10 people, you can sleep with 100 people. And it's all considered 100% legal. You're 16 years old, you're 18 years old, so the constitution allows you, your parents can't tell you anything. And then when now you got your degree, you're earning, your parents are getting old now, so why must you support them? The state must support them. So now the state is a welfare state like Britain and that, so they'll give them pension. Some places is not sufficient, so they say, you know what, you're not a liability. So best thing for you all, we go put you in the old age home. So you see now, so that is where they are. So now when they don't see them, so that guilty feeling comes. So once a year what they did, they made Mother's Day. Once a year what they did, they made Father's Day. To remove that guilt of theirs, because they don't see their father, mother. So for us, we don't see our father, mother. You must remember, we feel so bad and terrible and horrible. But for them, it's nothing. Because the mind is set like that, you must remember. That's what secularism does. Therefore, I wonder when I go visit a Muslim school or whatever they call it, you see. They say these are the Islamic subjects and these are the secular subjects. So I just keep quiet sometimes when the Maulana is speaking. Do you even know what is the meaning of secularism? Understand, in Arabic it's al-Almaniya. Secularism means to take you away from all religions and especially Islam. So how the hell can you call it secular system, secular subjects and all that in a Muslim school and all? It shows you yourself don't know what is the meaning of secularism. So you see, these are things, there's a contradiction of crisis, there's a crisis in a Muslim mind. There's an identity crisis also in a Muslim mind. So that is what things that happens when Muslims today, what they interested also? 90% not interested. Muslim today is khana, peena, sona, pakhana. I must just eat, I must drink, I must sleep, and then go to the toilet and enjoy myself. So that is true. It's general Muslim like today. So you see the hajis are coming back. How many 2 million hajis? We just round it off. It's less 1.7. We say 2 million plus minus. So see how many hajis will be really haji. And how many just went and say, all right, we made hajj finish now. We got done, like you see. So this type of things. So that is where the whole problem comes about. Now to appreciate. You see, another thing I said this morning. You look for a savior. Christianity cannot be a savior. I sent it to you all, the staff, yesterday or something. See that the article there, I sent it to you all. Suleiman, maybe you can pull it out. That one bishop, he slept with 30 nuns or something. He made them all pregnant. You understood? Or Pope Leo also got involved. So now, how can you have a system? You tell people when you belong to the Catholic Church and you want to become a priest, you want to become a cardinal, you want to become pope, you can't get married. So celibacy you call, you see. So what will happen then? It's an unnatural system. She wants to become a nun. So she becomes a novice, she becomes a nun. So now the priest, the father, Father's Day, you see. Say, come here, madam nun, let me give you one, you understand? So I give you a nice fatherly present. You give her one vaccine, you see, like that. So you make 30 nuns. How many is 30 or what it is?
30, yeah.
Yeah, sure. 30 nuns impregnated, you must remember, in Malawi, and this type of things. So Christianity cannot be the savior. When I went to Italy, 90%, 80% of the churches closed. The only time they open is somebody getting married, somebody died. That also half of them closed. And so remember this. Judaism can never be. You must remember that. They don't even propagate it. They say you must be born a Jew. You can't become a Jew. It's a long, drawn-out process. Buddhism and Hinduism, nothing can become. Hinduism can't become. They got caste system. Talits, you can't touch them and all that. You can urinate on them. And what grace? So the only religion that can be the savior of humanity is Islam. Easy example, you see, if you have a garden, in the garden all the trees are now bare, no one bearing fruit. But there's one big tree, and that one is bearing fruit every month, every year, and it's going on, and it's going more and more. So now everybody targets that tree. Why are you doing this? So that is Islam. You must remember that. So therefore, Islam, we are on the receiving end. Whether it's from the Christians, whether it's from the Jews, whether from the Buddhists, whether from the atheists, secularists, from everybody. Because we are the only ones. Because the pristine, in its purity, pristine purity constitution, the Quran Sharif. So we need to understand all these things here. Then we can present our case to the world and say we have the best, we want to share it with the rest, and we don't have no agenda. We don't want anything from you. We don't want your money, we don't want your political system, we don't want your economic system, because all of that stinks from Tel Aviv right till Washington, you see. So you must understand how to explain to the people and so forth. But today's Muslim, they suffer from the inferiority complex, ihsas-e-kamtari, al-ghazwul-fikri. Ghazwul-fikri is, you go to any Arab country, you go to any Muslim country, you will see how they treat the white man and the white lady, and how they treat me and you, or the African person. Hey, they treat him as a third-class person, fourth-class person. Let the whitey come. White man, you see, game. Like, you know, under the Boer when we had apartheid. So they expected it also, and they felt they deserve it also. You must call them Manier and Mafro and all these kind of things, Mr. and Madam and so forth. And African guy, yeah, what you want? You understand? Funani wena, like that. So already our way of treating was also different. You see? Big man working for you as a gardener or in your, say, hey boy, what you want? But a man is fit to be your father. But our own people, they teach their children, you must call him boy. Yes. So these are things, is that mind of ours, our thought process and all these type of things. A white guy you won't call boy, you must, if he's 20, 30 years old. But the African you will call. See, like that it is. Even in our masjids, even in our masajid. You will see, I can tell you, in our Jami Masjid, our Sufi Masjid, our Khangha, these, that wherever we read Salat, some people, they will never want to stand next to a black person in the surfs. They will go the other side. You understood? So what Islam are we talking about? You see, ghar ko aag lag gayi, ghar ki chirag se. I told you Sheikh Umar Falata story. So I told you, isn't it? Sheikh Umar Falata is our ustad. Sheikh Sabuni is our ustad. Makkah we learn tafsir by Sheikh Sabuni rahimahullah. And in Medina we learn hadith by Sheikh Umar Falata. Sheikh Umar Falata is the only person in the past century, you can say, who taught hadith sharif in Masjid Nabawi for 49 years. And when I came into contact with him, so in the 70s already, he was always teaching there in Riyazul Jannah. Imagine inside Riyazul Jannah, the way Imam Malik used to teach. He was the only person who had that sharaf and honor. So one day I showed a South African, I say, you see that from a distance, that is our Sheikh, and he's teaching hadith. He said, that daki inside Masjid Nabawi. You know, I was like half crying, and you know, I just walked away. If I was somewhere else, I should give him a smack, you know. So like that. So imagine this type of thing. You see that mindset. So now let us draw a comparison and see what Islam says regarding our parents, regarding our mother we did, our father, and so forth. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us. We just take few verses at random. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah has decreed that you, O Muslim, what must you do? That you must worship Him alone. And you must do good ihsan to your parents. So it means without them telling you, you must go out of your way to make their khidmah and serve them. Because when we were young, if I take my, because I was the last born, you know. I got two siblings, two brothers, two sisters, two brothers, pastor. So in our Maiman language, we call Chaglo. Chaglo means the spoiled guy, really spoiled. And I know how spoiled I was. Mother, father, all, when I went to Pakistan, how much damal they was, they wouldn't let me go. So like that, my ustad had to intervene, my mamaji had to intervene. And like that, and reluctantly they allowed me to go. So like that. So you don't, Allah says that you must not worship anybody except Him and do good unto parents. See now. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ إِنَّكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا وَكِلَاهُمَا. When one of them or both of them, they dare by you, in the ka. You see, every word in the Quran you must analyze. So when Quran is telling you that your parents are by you, so from you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a genius. So what does it mean? You the son, you the daughter, okay, after marriage we got nothing. So we can't speak after. Marriage is gone now. But you the son especially. So you must remember, and the daughter when she's not married, must you stay far from your parents or must you stay with your parents or near your parents? In the car. It means nearby, you see. وَبَنِينَ شُهُودَ. Therefore under Banina Shuhuda is mentioned. That is very good that you have your sons very close to you. You see that? So that is the meaning. So by you, one of them, or kilahuma, or both of them. So now when they're in their old age, they become senile, they become difficult and all, they forget. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even tell them أُفْ. وَلَا تَنْهَرُمَا. Don't shout and scream at them. They'll do wrong things. They'll drop this mess here, mess there. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Speak to them in a respectful manner. Imagine, take this verse and juxtapose, compare it with any religion. We're flying with our wealth, we're flying with our degrees, we're flying with our first class tickets in the airlines, you see, Qataria and Emirat and us and us and all that, SAA and what. So, or we're flying with our degrees. Today I'm BA, then I'm MA, then I'm PhD, then I'm doctorate, then I'm professor and what. So Allah is telling you, you're flying, but now when you come by your parents, وَخْفِذْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Lower your wings. Lower your wings for them out of compassion for them. Because why? You can never ever repay them. Can we repay our mother? She carried us 8-9 months. She gave birth to us and she breastfed us. Our father, can we repay him? All our expenses. Who paid for all that? My father, this I'm very proud about. Proud, not in the meaning of arrogant. My father, when the Memon Society and organization said, we will pay for your son, my father said, Manja Putar, I pay. It's my son, I pay, you don't come pay. I should have to listen to their stories for whole life. You see, so, and we never accepted zakat and all the alhamdulillah. Wherever we studied, we paid, you understand? And this type of thing. So therefore, we're independent. We don't have to worry of people and so forth and so on. So, janaha dhulli min ar-rahma. Then every day, O Ummah, make dua. وَقُرْ رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Have mercy on them, as they nurtured me, tarbiyah. رَبَّيَانِي تَرْبِيَةً. You know you got daughters, you got children. صَغِيرًا. So this is what we must take. So our parents, I told you 100 times the story. When I go to varsity, Everts or UJ or whatever, ask the youngsters, you kiss your mother, father's hand. They just look down. 3-4 will say yes. You kiss your girlfriend, 80% will pick up the hand. See? And they laugh. They laugh. You must remember. It's expected of you to do that. You don't do that, you're a sad guy. You're half dead. You understand? The other guys will mock you. Understood? Say what you will do. You don't know how to do your wife also. So you must have girlfriend. You must have boyfriend. So you know what to do. You see, it's a training course and this. So you see that kufr, that Western culture, civilization is glorified, and Islam is considered backward, out of fashion, orthodox, all that kind of thing. So that is where today we stand. You must remember that. So that you will see our Muslims, just open the newspaper, open internet, open and see how many Muslim organizations or shops or whatever, but they will have Father's Day special, this Youth Day special, this special, this special. They consider it totally permissible because the mindset, the thought process is like that. So one day is Mustafa's, the hadith is Quran, now chapter 17, verses 23-24. So one day Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba, you look at your father with love and respect. They get that, you see, Hajj finished now, khalas. 1446, 2025, Hajj history, khalas. Now next Hajj, 1446, 2026, you see. So 1447 and 2026, like that. So will be a Hajj, don't have to remember. So now, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look at your father with love and respect. You get reward your Hajj. Sayyidina Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, you mean if you look at our father 70 times, 70 in Arabic can mean 70 and can mean taksir, not tahdeed. So taksir means many times. Like how in English you say, I told you 100 times, like that. So you mean for every time? Then he said, yes. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akthar, that you will get tired. Allah will never get tired. Allah is infinite. Everything by Allah is unlimited and everything by you is limited. You see that? So that is Islam. Open Mishkat, you will find it there. So that is our Islam. Just to look with love and respect. See, we who say we are Maulvis and we... I ask you a question, Mozaid, and give me an honest answer. Suleiman, you also. Oh, your father passed away. But anyway, Allah give Jannat al-Firdaus. How many of us, we will see our teacher, our dust, we'll put their shoes right. But we see our father, we'll put his shoes right. 80% we'll put. I'm asking you.
Generally, no, people won't.
No. But who got greater rank?
Father.
The Ustad or the father? You see. Now we supposed to be the Maulanas. We supposed to be the Hafiz. We supposed to be the Qari Sahib and Mufti Sahib. We also got our priorities upside down. We won't put our shoes, the father's shoes straight, our mother's shoes straight, but we'll put the Ustad one. Nobody's saying you mustn't do for the Ustad. But how come you're doing for your Ustad, but you're forgetting your father? When your father's rank is 100 times, 1,000 times higher than the Ustad. For the Sheikh, they all will run. You see, the Sheikh, I see guys, they make their namaz short also. See, Sheikh, you see. Sheikh means nothing when you can't look after your parents. What means Sheikh? It means nothing. You must remember that. Your biggest Sheikh is your father. So you must remember this level. Even if the father does not, is not a Hafiz, not Alim, it's your father. Therefore, Islam says, Surah 31, verse 15, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. If your parents are non-Muslim also, you must still show them respect and love. You see, you don't go and buy wine and swine and all that for them. You can't buy for Muslim parents, so obviously you can't do for non-Muslim parents. But the respect and the love has to be there. So where about Muslim parents then? Much more. So you see, we ourselves, we send the wrong signal. I see my father's shoes are not straight, we'll just leave it. We see the ustad or sheikh, quickly we run. Because we want khilafat, we want our 2P must go higher. You understand? Upside down, yesterday also I gave one guy a lecture here at Sufi Masjid. You say, I told him, your place khilafat, all that means nothing in Islam. You must remember this kind of things there. So you must get all this right, A, B, C and all that. Then you can see, and a very good article you wrote today about TJ, I sent it out, you understand? So you must remember this kind of things. So till we don't get our priorities, first is Allah Ta'ala, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, third is parents. Then come Ustad and Sheikh and all these type of things. So that basics we don't know, so what we know then? Say, no, meto Khalifa, meto Sheikh al-Islam. But you don't know the basics, so what you know then? You must remember that. So these are things we must learn. Then we come to, you see, so in Islam you can go on and on about father. But you see, the father also must be a father. He must give directions to his children. You know, my father couldn't read Quran looking inside properly. So when I came back in 76 for holiday, so it was Ramadan, and Nigel, this town Nigel, they didn't have masjid. They got masjid, the beautiful masjid, Khalid bin Walid. So then they told me that, you know, we don't even have Hafiz. There was a Maulana Mayat. You should be knowing him. He's from your part of the world, Marlborough, Maulana Mayat. He was in Nigel. So he's from Marlborough there. So he was the imam there. So you say, you know, we need. So my mother, father, they said, you just go, and if they give you money, you don't take 1 cent also. They jahil, absolute jahil, what we will call jahil. But even that sense they had. They say, if they give you money, you don't take a cent. Today we always will take with 2 hands, never in 1 hand. You understand? Yeah. So every day, and I got no license and all, my brothers used to take me. Ahmad Rashid take me one day, Abdul Ghaffar take me like that. You see, both passed away, Allah give them Jannah. Till today, the Nigel people, they remember. They had like a house, you see, like that. So now, so I'm thinking that I'm becoming Molvi and all that. Let me see in my own house. So I got my brother, I got my father. I say, come, let me teach you how to read Quran, basic, you know. So I read for them, then they read. And then before it came, they knew how to read Quran fluently. You see, this kind of things there. So that is what we must do. That we must be the ones to show. If our parents don't know, because that time they didn't have all these facilities we got today. So what they knew that time? Maulvi Sahab MK, you say, Maulvi Sahab after them got a stick in his hand. You ask him questions, you first give ID, you understand? Then you talk. You couldn't ask questions. That is one reason why I, with Allah's help, Allah gave us this opportunity. Our darooms are the same, you understand? I never saw a daroom in Pakistan or India or South Africa where the ustad will give you that encouragement, ask any question. You saw any daroom like that? I'm asking you honestly. No, they don't like. You must remember. So in Darum Newcastle, I made it a law in my class. I said, you must ask whatever question you want. Understood? So it make me study more also, understood? Because the lightings will fire up, you see. 45 minutes, 40 minutes, I teach 5 minutes. Sometimes the students, they make shararat, you know students. They say, AK, he likes this. So in the starting of the sabak, we must ask him the question. Then he'll carry on hold. Then they know sabak, you see. Like say, now fathers, they come, you, they come. I say, let's ask him. So then, you know, students out there, like that. So we must encourage these type of things here. So the parents also have to play their role. Nurture your child, mold your child, you know. See, I tell you, this year, Eid, I won't take the name. I was in Phoenix, right, for Eid. So this one brother came to pick me up and all this kind of thing. I don't know what not. I got the car, but they can fetch me and all that. They drive and all that. If I drive, I must the whole Eid namaz and everything. And I don't know the roads and all. So cut long story short, so I had money. This Eid there, give this guy. Then the money went finished. So I had to give one more guy, you see. It's not that I had to give, but I just felt. So I told this guy, just give him something. You know, I saw, then I realized whose son he is. He's not a Maulana, he's not a Hafiz, but he's a Waliullah, according to me. So the son, the way he took out his money, he made sure I mustn't see. that what amount he's taking out. You understood? Hmm. So quick movement, he put his whole first life over that and he took out. I told him, give him 10 rand, you know, that. That's what it out to him. I think, I can't be 100% sure, but he took out 50 rand, but the way he covered it, I didn't see it properly. And he gave it to him just like that, you see that. So I said, see the tarbiyah his parents made of him. Hmm. Ordinary people. Now you ask a Molvi to do that. People make such a... You know, so this is where we are failing. You understood? So it works both ways. The parents must do that for children. Children must show love and respect. Not only fil hayat, even ba'dal mamat, even after the death. How can we forget our parents and we don't make dua? Surah 14, verse 41. Rabbana ighfir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Every Friday tonight is Thursday. We must read Surah Kaf. Tomorrow we must read Surah Kaf. Man qara'a Surah Al-Kaf fi laylatil jumu'ah adaa'a lahu min an-nur ma baynahu wa bayn al-baytil atiq. That go by he that you read Surah Kahf on a night of Friday after Maghrib, after Isha, where you are, right from where, right till Makkah, till Baytullah, the Noor will come. Sahih Hadith, this is in Sunan al-Darimi. You see, Albani also said, wa sahaw, Sheikh Albani. So that, if you read Surah Kahf tomorrow, man qara'a Surah Al-Kahf fi yawm al-jumu'ah, adaa'a lahu min an-nur ma bayn al-jumu'atayn. Then Allah will bless you with nur from one Friday till the next Friday. Hadith in Sunan Nasai, Muslim and all that. So various compilations, right? So now the question will come, you Mawlana Zahid. So then why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam choose Surah Kahf? Every Friday we should read it. There must be some asrar, some secret, some wisdom and hikam in it. Is not Islam just tell us do this and... So when you start and read it, there's a lesson for the youth. Seven youngsters. وَثَامِنُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ. You see? So you must remember that. So that Allah Ta'ala, when He uses the waw, وَثَامِنُهُمْ. See, all the numbers before that waw is not used. Like that. So yeah, وَثَامِنُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ. So He chose the seven one. So the seven youngsters, they put their life in front and they told Daqyanus, you do what you want to. But they cry to Allah, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَأَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. So every youth should be learning this dua. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا. فِتْيَةٌ فَتَى. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, 69 times his name is mentioned in the Quran. Surah 14 is dedicated to him. So remembered, we all gave lecture each time we spoke of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. So when he smashed the idols to smatterings, قَالُوا سَمِئْنَا فَتَى أَيْ فَتَيْ يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُوا لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. So see the lessons Allah is giving us. So one strata of society are your youth. See now, you know why you got youth day? If somebody has to ask you, Mawlana Zahid, why you got youth day June 16th, you know? Huh? You know?
No.
Yeah, so you see, you must know this. I'm going to tell you a Ajib wa Gharib story. And you must remember it lifelong. Where is that Suleiman? He's also missing. So you listeners here of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah, you must learn these two, three things I'm telling you now. We were studying Karachi, what we know. Yeah, in Soweto, not far from us here. So the Bura, the Afrikaners, impose upon them the African language. Yalamut Afrikaans leer, you see. And the Africans said, go to hell, we won't learn. Because, you see, apartheid and Afrikaans were going hand in hand. There's nothing wrong with the language. But because it is attached to apartheid, Sudan becomes disgrace. It's like we, like our Karachi situation. When we went to Karachi to study, the book is in Farsi, Persian. The Ustad is teaching us in the medium of Urdu, and the subject we're learning is Arabic. What a crazy system. You know, I even told Hazrat Mufti Sahib, and I said, Hazrat, I mean that much. Don't you see we all foreigners, not one guy knows what's going on. That is how half the guys left the madrasa. So we don't understand what's going on. They should tell me, you understand. I say, even I don't understand half. But with Allah's help comes, you understood, and us and all. But Allah keeps us, you see, Allah's mercy, Allah's further grace. So like that. They impose upon them. So then everything went zigzag. You see? And you know that Hector Peterson, if you go there to the museum, you will see all that, the apartheid museum. So that 16 June was when the shooting took place and the murder got murdered and killed and so forth. So it is in memory of them we got this youth day. You got that? That is your tariq, you see. So that's why they kept it on this type of thing. So what we say about youth, say go to Quran, go to Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein, they were the youth. Wal Hassan wal Hussein, Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah. They are the leaders of the youth in Jannah, Hadith Sahih in Tirmidhi Sharif. So we must speak. Tariq bin Ziyad is 22 years old and is conquering Spain and all these places. Go read about, you see, that you understand about the leaders who conquered this country, that country, and see. So Surah Kahf, the first part is for the youth. Then the second message is for the corporate world, the business world. The two people, one was a tablighi, one was a Muslim, one was a good, one was a secularist, capitalist. So you see, the third one is message for us Maulvis, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam and Khidr alayhi salam. We just learn 100 hadith, we think we Shaykhul hadith and Shaykhul Islam and all that. Today, lighties don't even know 10 hadiths with sunnah properly, and they start thinking that we Shaykhul Islam. It's happening like that nowadays. Small lighting is teaching Bukhari Sharif. And for real, they start thinking we Shaykhul Hadith. I remember the words of Allama Binduri, he says, Shaykhul Hadith bahut milenge, and you say, Muhaddith bahut kam milenge. You see, always remember. See the ajeeb wa gharib story I tell you. Darul Newcastle started in 1973. Muqasim Sema, Allah gave Jannatul Firdaus Rahimahullah. First Darul in South Africa. Miaswam started in 1940. But they will fall in the category of Darul Tahfiz. That their whole emphasis was in making students hafiz. Darul Newcastle's main aim was to produce local ulama. They don't have to go overseas. And that was the mansha and the objective and the meaning, what more stuff. Then the Hifz class started and all that. So anyway, let's get on. So 73, now Muqasim Sema, he left South Africa, he was born in 20. When he was 15 years old, 35, he left to go study in Dabel. 44, he came back. He used to tell the students, I spent 10 years. And you always on Duran, I spent 10 years. I never came home. My mother also passed away. You see, like that. So he used to shout. But then he gave them permission. Mona was very soft, you see. So 73, when Hazrat Allama Sheikh Yusuf bin Nuri came, he told Muqasim Sema, he said, yeh, main badal dekhta hu ke yahan par bahut bada azab aane wala hai. There's a very big punishment going to come to South Africa. So you Muslims better start taking heed and change your lifestyle. He was a waliullah. I told you about him yesterday also. We sent out the two articles and all that. So remember that. But the people, they just laugh what is there. Lo and behold, Hazrat went away. 77, he passed away. I enrolled there by him, 74, you understand. And we made Umrah, Hajj, all that. Anyway, so 76, this riot took place. So then, Mausema and them used to give bayan and say, Hazrat bin Nuri told us all these things there. If you go to Miaswam, they also all passed away. Now, Mufti Ahmad passed away, Maun Ibrahim. So they also will know of these incidents. The senior ulama, they in Durban, Maun Umar Ji, Maun Yunus Patel and them, you see. Maun Yunus Patel also, he wasn't so prominent that time. He only came there to the Jamiat in the 70s, you know. So these type of things. So maybe, I don't think he knows me, but Maun Umar Ji, Maun Ansari and them, they will know. But they all passed away. So those who were the seniors, they knew about this. But who will pay heed and this type of thing? That time, this whole Jamiat was run by Miaswam. You must remember these things there. So that's one incident. Now, if you go before that, Allama Abul Hasan Nadwi, the Ustad also, he gave me permission in Hadith, you know. We met him in Karachi, we met him in Lucknow, we had breakfast together there, and we met him in Makkah, Medina, he gave me permission for Hadith and all this. So he delivered a lecture in Rangoon, Burma, those days, Myanmar, you see. And then he warned them that all this richness Allah has given you Muslims, they used to burn their money to light up the cigarette. You have to take out cigarette, so now you lighter, you know you need lighter. So now, so they take money and they burn the cigarette. Pesa ka khel, like, you know. He said that, I'm warning you all, that if you're not going to change your way, you will see what will happen here. There will be a terrible punishment for you all. When he reached Lucknow, he reached India after a few days or few weeks, Then the army military took over and Muslims were slaughtered. Till today you can see what's happening. Arakan and Myanmar and Burma and Rohingya Muslims and all. So those days already in the 50s, he already. So people asked him, Sheikh Abul Hasan, how come you knew? He said, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a genius. Jab itne badal ho jai, and you can see, to zahir baat hai ke most probably it will rain. So when we see that all this badal is coming of azab and so forth and so, but Muslims don't want to change, so then what's going to happen? Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. How many of us are prepared to change? The other day I found a nice saying of Rumi. I sent it out, you know. So Rumi wrote, Jalaluddin Rumi rahimahullah. He said, I came when I was young, I wanted to change the whole world. Nothing changed. Then when I grew wiser, then I said, let me change myself, then the world will change. So if you all practice on that, then the world will become a better place. You know, this time. We don't want to change, but we want to change other people. Now how it will work like that, so you see. So these are the things we must do. Our my children today, our youth, who's not involved today? Either boyfriend, girlfriend, either alcohol, drugs, either you must remember that there's pornography and there's clubbing and what then what is going, gay business. And it's just becoming like the norm. You must remember this type of things here. That every second guy is involved in this, you see. Yesterday the message came. She said that the lady say that, you know what my husband did? So this is overseas. My husband, he did, he got this boy and he got my daughter. He said, you like her? He said, you like? He said, I'm the father, go, you're married. So she asked me, is right like that? I said, totally, they're living in sin if they're living together. Where are the witnesses? There are no witnesses. Understood? So now imagine if you have such things there. So that. Therefore, I say, don't become lakir ka fakir, you know. That you say, no, it's right, it's jais. If you are going to start passing fatwa like this, that you have the boy and girl, and they can just make nikah without iznul wali, you understood? Without the permission of the guardian, and so forth. The sahih hadith for that in Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, all that. So all that. So what will happen? Yeah, in the parking, yeah, in the hotel, yeah. They just meet up, they get two guys, make witnesses. Say, what you need, Maulana? We can read the nikah ourselves, man. So imagine you will have a situation, you will have 100 girls, 100 boys married, and the parents won't know about it, 90% of that. You're promoting what? Just like the Shia's Mutta you're promoting. So we must use our brains. You see? Al-fiqhul waqi'. So use the hadith, la nikaha illa bi waliyin. That nikah is not valid without wali. And use the fatwa of Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib. He's a great Mufti, not some small person. One of the greatest jurors on some continent. Imdadul Muftina, even by heart the page number, page the copy I have, page 551. In there he wrote, Hanafi larki ho, akila ho, baligha ho, and if she made nikah, fi ghairi kuf, in someone that is, you understand, not compatible, suitable. He wrote the word, ye nikah batil hai. It's batil. He didn't even write fasid. He wrote batil. You know the difference with nabha. Said so the null and void completely. So that is how you must pass fatwa. Understood? So we must make saddu zari'ah. Not go open the doors for all fitta and say, no, we are Hamdu Hanafi. So what you doing, Mike? You're opening the doors for fitna. Understand? So we don't think sometimes, you know. So we make dua for our fathers, our mothers, our youth, everybody. But the khulasatul kalam is this. The ending statement is this. Things are going to go from bad to worse. Remember that. Why? Because we have to accept. Sooner or later, Qiyamah has to come. And Qiyamah will only come, Allah shirari khalqillah, on the worst creation of Almighty Allah. So, but that doesn't mean that we must become fatalistic and a defeatist attitude. No. You know you're going to die, but you stop eating. No, you're still eating. We're eating more. We're eating more, drinking more, but you know you're going to die. So similarly, you know Qiyamah is coming. Doesn't mean we must stop. So we must try more and more, inshallah. Allah guide us, guide our youth, guide our parents, elders, everybody. So Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.
Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.